Good evening. So we are continuing with our study on the parables of Jesus. And today we're going to look at Luke chapter 7 and verses 41 through 43. As an introduction, I'd like to offer a definition of a parable. So a parable in the Bible is a story that highlights biblical truth. It's a story and it doesn't have to be a real story. But it is a story that highlights biblical truth. And this story adds depth to this biblical truth. It leads us to meditate. It leads us to think about things from this biblical truth. And most importantly, usually parables, in all cases, they make a very compelling appeal. There is something that we must do from listening to a parable. So taking this approach, our first goal when we read a parable, our first task is to identify the doctrine that this parable is intending to teach us. And then our job is also to bring into our hearts the prescribed applications that it's giving us to do. So taking this approach, we're going to look at our parable for this evening that is in Luke chapter 7 and verses 41 through 43. We're going to read the whole section or the whole account, but right now I just want to read the parable itself. Luke chapter 7, verses 41 through 43. And it reads like this. It says, there was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. And when they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. Tell me therefore, which of them will love him more? Simon answered and said, I suppose the one whom he forgave more. And he said to him, you have rightly judged. So the basic doctrine from this parable, I think it's pretty easy to see. It's Christ's remission of sin. He forgave it all. Like we just sang, we're only sinners saved by grace. He forgave us all our debt. We had a debt that we could not pay, and that only he could forgive. But in the larger context of this text, in the story that surrounds this parable, the application from this parable is our response to his forgiveness. How do we respond to God? And how do we respond to other people, to others who have also accepted his love? So let us read the full passage to observe the event that surrounds this parable. Now, if you have read this parable before, the event that surrounds this parable is a woman who is washing the Lord's feet with her tears and with her hair, and then she anoints the Lord's feet with an expensive perfume. Now, just a little side note, there's a similar account in Matthew chapter 26 and in Mark 14. But this is not the same account. It seems very similar too, because in that other account, there's also a Simon, but that is Simon the leper. In this case, this Simon is Simon the Pharisee. That account also happened towards the end of the last days of the Lord on this earth in his ministry, before he went to the cross in the area of Jerusalem. And this particular account happens in the area of Galilee at the house of Simon the Pharisee. Some people also identify this woman with Mary Magdalene, but the text itself doesn't give us sufficient evidence to make that assertion. So I just wanted to give that side note there, because this is something that has happened to me before. I read this account and this parable, and I automatically try to connect all of them, but they are not the same. So let's just read as we go. Let's start with verse 36. It says, then one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him, and he went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. So I have a slide right here, and that will show you probably how the scene looked, just to give us an idea of how everything looked in this first verse. So a Pharisee, a religious man, invited Jesus for dinner. And when Jesus arrived, he reclined at the table. He will recline in a way like that. And this table will be near the floor, like we have on the picture, and guests will sit at the floor, and they will stretch their legs away from the table. Now, this had a very important purpose. If you were living in those days, your feet will be dirty, And you probably wouldn't want your feet to be close to your food. So you will eat at the front of the table and you will put your feet as far as you could from that table. So as a guest arrives, some water would be offered to these guests to wash their feet. And also, as or if there was no water to offer, then there may be a servant there who will do this work for you. Now, this was very important because you wouldn't want to recline at a table, at a nice table like this, with dirty feet. You wouldn't want everybody to perceive the dirt that you had on your feet and the smell that you have acquired by walking through a busy day. So not washing your feet before dinner could frame you as an unpleasant guest. But we know from this account, as we're going to read later, that Jesus here is not offered any water to wash his feet. Let's look at verses 37 through 38 and let's see what God does instead. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil and stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and she began to wash his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head, and she kissed his feet and anointed them with fragrant oil. From his arrival, the Lord was treated as a second-class guest. He was not offered any water to wash his feet. He was not offered the kiss, as we are going to read later on too. And through this woman, God was going to make a statement about his son, that he was the true guest of honor at this dinner. God was not going to let his son at this dinner come across as a second-class guest. He was the guest of honor, and he chose a woman who everybody knew she was a sinner to highlight this truth. So she comes into the scene, and with her hair and her tears, she wipes the feet of our Lord. Then she adds an expensive perfume that had a wonderful smell. Now, just a little bit of background of this perfume. It could have been made of spikenard. I don't know spikenard personally, but there's a picture of spikenard at the left right there. And this is a plant that comes from northern India, from what I understand. And if you think about the distance between northern India and Jerusalem or Israel, it's quite a walk. And also it could have been made of myrrh. And that is that's the tree of myrrh that comes from Africa. So this will make this spikenard or myrrh oil a very expensive perfume. It will be worth about a year's salary. And then it was contained, in this case, in this flask made of a precious stone. And this flask will contain all its aroma only for the time when it was ready to be broken and delivered. And in this case, this woman breaks the flask and she pours this perfume at the feet of Jesus. Now, if you were a guest at this dinner, you could not help but to notice the smell. What this woman was doing brought everybody's eyes to Jesus. You can imagine the fragrant aroma of this room when she poured this very expensive perfume at the feet of Jesus. Well, Simon the Pharisee takes offense at the scene. And let's see what happens on verse 39. It says, now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he spoke to himself. He doesn't say this to anyone, but Jesus knows what he's speaking to himself, saying this, this man, Jesus, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner. So this scene deeply disturbs this Pharisee, who is piously disgusted with the woman. And in his heart, as it says right here, within his heart, he despised the Lord. Leading our Lord to sit at the table without providing water to wash his feet was already a backhanded way to despise him. But what this woman did revealed the thoughts of the Pharisee's heart, and the Lord is going to bring this to our attention. Look at verse 40. The Pharisee continues acting with hypocrisy in the way he speaks to our Lord. It says, And when Jesus answered and said, oh, I'm sorry. And when Jesus answered and said, to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. And we can see the hypocrisy of the Pharisee in his answer. So he said, teacher, say it. I am ready to learn. Now, let's stop here right now, because sometimes we are quick to judge Simon, and rightly so. But I think this is a very critical point. This is a pivotal part of this parable, because this is where that compelling appeal comes to us. God knows the heart of Simon, and Jesus knows what he's thinking, but he also knows my heart. He knows very well that I can be like Simon here. He knows very well that I can think the way Simon is thinking here. So let's see what Jesus says in the parable once again. There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. And when they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more? Simon answered and said, I suppose the one whom he forgave more. And he said to him, you have rightly judged. So just to do a little easy math, 50 denarii, or a denarii, was about a day's salary's worth. And we just put it apples to apples here. One of them owed about 50 days of salary, or 50 days of work, which is about 2 months worth of work, and he could not pay. The other one owed 500 days of work, which would amount to about 2 months of day labor. And really the smaller or the greater debt was really inconsequential to what the Lord was trying to say, because what is the problem with both of them? Neither of them could pay. The one that owes more and the one that doesn't owe so much, neither of them could pay their debt. They were at the mercy of their creditor. This parable assumes that the creditor has sufficient solvency to absorb both debts. However, one thing the parable doesn't mention, one thing that the parable omits, is the price of these debts. It does give us a number here, but in the spiritual sense, we know that this parable and this debt has to do with the debt we have before God because of our sin, a debt that we could not pay. And we know that the price that was paid for our sin was the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Without blood, there is no remission of sin. So the Lord asks a question at the end of this parable to Simon. But the question is not who owed more money. The question is who loved more. The answer, who loved more, was the person who truly recognized that he was never going to be able to pay. The person who owed 500 denarii recognized, I will never be able to pay for this debt in my entire life. And when his master forgave him this debt, when this creditor forgave him this debt, he loved him. The other one, the one that owes 50 denarii, he also cannot pay. But there's a problem with him. He cannot recognize that he cannot pay. He thinks within his heart that he is better than that other creditor that owes 500, because he thinks he can pay the 50 that he owes. But neither one of them could truly pay. The only difference here is one of them recognized it and the other one did not. We continue reading verses 44 through 46. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house, you gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore, I say to you, her sins, which everybody knows are many, beginning with her, I'm adding this for emphasis, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. As we said earlier, this woman did for the most important guest ever at a dinner what the host here had failed to do. The Pharisee had treated Jesus as an unwanted guest, but this woman showed everybody at the table whom he really was. He is the only one at that table who could forgive her sins. He is the only one at that table who is God himself. And of course, all the Jews took offense at this. In verse 47, we see that this woman understood the kind of debt that she owed. She knew when she was there what she had done. Everybody knew what she had done. The Pharisee, on the other hand, he knew what he had done, but he didn't want to accept that Jesus was there to forgive him too. The kind of love that this woman showed to Jesus exposed the lack of common courtesy that this Pharisee failed to have towards the Lord. This woman did, this is what the Lord is telling the Pharisee, this woman did everything you did not do. And it all starts with her heart, with a heart that is repentant, with a heart that understood her sin. And in the best way she could understand, she came to Jesus, she came to me, said Jesus, and this woman is now forgiven of her sins. Let's look what happens at the in the last few verses, verses 48 through 50. Then he said to her, your sins are forgiven. And those who sat at the table with him began to say to themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? Well, the answer is obvious. Only God can forgive sins. Then he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. This account begins with a woman who is full of sin, so distressed that she cries at the feet of the Lord, that she washes his feet, that she pours this very expensive perfume. And she knows that all of this is not sufficient to cover her own sins. She does all these things full of distress, but how does the Lord bid her farewell? Go in peace. And the Lord will say the same to you and me and to anyone who comes to him in repentance. He will not reject anyone who approaches him in repentance. The Lord says to you and me, go in peace. This is what that woman received that day. So the doctrine of this parable is quite simple. The Lord Jesus is willing and he will forgive your sin if you come to him in repentance. Now, there's two responses here. Some will frown like the Pharisees and all the guests that were invited that day and won't believe that Jesus is able to do this. But some, like this woman, are forgiven and we walk away in peace. So just a couple practical applications that are part of this parable. What is my response to the Lord for his abundant forgiveness? If you have reached out to Christ like this woman for forgiveness, he has forgiven your sin at the greatest cost, at the price of his own blood. Now, I know my own sins. And I know who I am. I know in my heart how dark my sins were. And I love the Lord Jesus for what he has done for me. That is the first application. He paid for each one of my sins. He granted me forgiveness and he sent me in peace. The second application here is that our response to his forgiveness of his love has to be love in return. But this, in this parable, and this is something we don't want to miss on this account, is demonstrated in the way we treat others. In the way we treat other sinners who have also come to the Lord seeking for forgiveness. How do we perceive a sinner who tries to come in Christ in repentance, but maybe like this woman, he or she doesn't know how? How do we respond? The Lord is speaking to each one of our hearts through this parable. The heart of Simon the Pharisee is not that distant from my heart sometimes. The way in which we respond, especially if we have been in Christ for some years, and we feel we have a good measure of righteousness from the way he has changed our lives, sometimes can tend to be the same. We can, if we're not careful, we can answer the same way this Pharisee answered. We can answer with a lack of compassion instead of answering with rejoicing because this woman and other people have been forgiven the same way we have been forgiven. Another application is, how do we perceive former sinners like ourselves? Sometimes we have a hard time moving on from what people did in the past before they come to Christ. Sometimes we have people in our churches who come and we know that they have a great deal of baggage, a great deal of sins. And when they come through our doors, we think to ourselves, and I include myself here, well, I really didn't fall into some of the traps that this person fell. I didn't really get as messy as this person got. And we refuse to let go of their past instead of remembering how much more Christ paid for our sins as well. What comes to my heart when I meet a sinner? What is most amazing in this parable is that Christ didn't only have mercy on this woman. Christ is offering mercy also to the Pharisee. The only difference is the Pharisee is not willing to accept it. But Christ understands and offers mercy to both of them. So look at the mirror tonight, look at yourself, and think about how much you and I have been forgiven. Take a close look at the mirror. Think about all the sins that Christ has put behind himself that you have done. And when you think about that, think how much you love God. And think how much you are willing to extend his forgiveness to others who have come in repentance and have been forgiven the way you and I have been.